All right, would you take your Bible with me if you have it with you? In 1 John chapter 3 is where I'm going to share with you this morning. 1 John chapter number 3, and we're going to start in verse number 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18. Considering what a beautiful day it is, it does seem so odd not to have everyone with us, but we're thankful that you're able to watch online. I'm going to start in verse number 18, read down to verse 24 of 1 John chapter 3. You can follow along, or you can read it out loud at home if you'd like. You're welcome to do that. Here's verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yes, sir.
Your lapel is off.
Oh, all right. Well, it says it's on. We're having some technical difficulties. You want me to just use the microphone then?
It's back on now.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Ooh. All right. We'll let that sink in. Sorry, everyone, for a small technical difficulty. And we've been doing so well this morning. But let's see if we can get back on track. What I asked you to do is turn to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, you'll give you a few moments to look there, and then we'll read the verses again in just a moment. But 1 John 3 is where we're going to be. Again, we did not plan, of course, to have only online services today, and trust it was not an offense to anybody. But the idea, through God's direction and some counsel, is for some of our families who are regularly attending that they get well and they feel better the next time they come to church. And we're praying and planning for that to be specifically next Sunday and possibly Wednesday as well. But if you're there, 1 John chapter 3, we're starting in verse number 18. You can follow along. I'll read. If you'd like, you can read it at home if you have it open there. Like it went out again. All right, I'm going to do this. Luke, I'm going to go ahead and use this microphone, if you can hear me. And I'm going to turn off the lapel. Let's give that a shot. Okay, can you hear me now? All right. Let's just go with this microphone, and I'll try to stay within earshot of that. We'll make sure that this gets taken care of later. So what's an online service without a little bit of challenges? So here we go. 1 John chapter 3, again, verse number 18. Let's start there, verse number 18 in 1 John chapter number 3. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Look at verse number 19 again, if you would. Verse number 19, and says, hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. What are you sure of today? Today our services are online because we were not sure that it would be a wise thing to consider or have in person. We are not sure when we're all going to get better, but we are planning and preparing for that kind of health as well. There's a lot of things we're not sure of in this physical world, and some of those answers are not going to happen in this world. But God says that he does have answers for some spiritual things, spiritual lives, and he wants to assure us of that today. What are you sure of today? A man asked a friend who was single why he never got married. Looking for the perfect girl, was the reply. Well, surely you've met at least one girl you thought would be a good match. Yes, once, the friend said, she was perfect in every way. Well, then why didn't you marry? And the man said, she was looking for the perfect guy. She had not found, and he had not found. Well, surety is not about what the physical things are in this world. The surety or assurance that is given here in verse 19 is about the spiritual things. And though there's a lot of physical things we're asking God for in prayer, do you know that the spiritual things are just as important, maybe more so? More so, certainly in eternity's eyes. God says some things our heart can be sure of in this life are available right in front of our eyes. This morning, the Bible has answers to the question, what can I be sure of? I'd like to answer that question with God's word. If you're taking notes this morning, the title is, what can I be sure of? What can I be sure of? Right here in 1 John 3, we're going to get some answers. So would you bow with me once again? We'll ask God to help us as we look in the Bible and that he might get the glory through it. Father, again, we ask your help right now, this very moment. Would you please fill me with your spirit, I pray. Help my voice to be strong enough to share every word you would have us to hear. Lord, may the message be clear through the Spirit of God. Speak to the needs that we have in our heart. Speak to the needs that we have through the future events that we're planning for, or just simply the things that we're going through now. May you get glory through all that, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us all physically be helped as well. Lord, bring us to where you want us to be for your glory and honor. Thank you for what you're going to do now. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Number one thing I can be sure of today, I can be sure of, number one, my salvation. I can be sure of my salvation. The Bible says I am accepted by God when I put my faith on Jesus Christ alone. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The Bible says I'm accepted by God in his family when I put my faith on Jesus Christ alone. Acts chapter 16 tells us when the men were talking to those, the multitudes, about the Lord Jesus, the Bible says they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 4, if you want to go there, turn to Romans 4 and verse 24. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 24, but as for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible certainly tells us we need to believe in him, that he existed, that he is who he said he is. He's God who came to earth, who took upon himself flesh. He lived the sinless life. He was here to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation for all mankind. He died. He took upon himself our sin when he died, and his shed blood covered the cost of our sin forever. He rose again, proving that that cost was paid for completely. And yet, though the cost has been paid, though the price has been set and God has done his part, he simply says this, accept my son, believe on him, and I'll give you eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? If you're listening this morning or listening at some point in the future, have you done that? God certainly loved you, and he loves me because of that. And it only was love. It wasn't because of anything we could do or have done. You know, friend, if you're a Christian today, you didn't get saved on your own merit, and you're not staying saved on your own merit either. God saved us, and he continues to keep us in his hands and in his family. He's, as he promised, for eternity. And the assurance that he provides here starts with faith in Christ alone. Another thing the Bible tells me here is in verse number 20 and 21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The Apostle John, writer of this epistle, presumes that the reader is, certainly is, the 1 John chapter 3, and the chapter in the book was written to the believer in Christ. It was written for those who have put faith in Jesus, who've professed that, who have a testimony for Christ, and desire to honor the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells me, if my heart condemns me, then I have someone with me to give me a better answer. God. God is greater, the Bible says, than our heart, and knoweth all things. Pardon me for a moment here. The Bible says that God knoweth all things. What does this mean? What does this mean? If my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. Well, here's what I believe this is telling us. First of all, I'm assured by God when I respond to my heart. Now, you might say, wait a minute, if my heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, how can I respond to that? Well, here's the reason why. The fleshly heart, the natural man, his heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. When I'm saved, I have still the nature of the old man that I have to deal with, but now I have a new nature. God says he's planted within me a new man, created in Christ Jesus. Now I still have those two natures to follow. I have to choose one or the other each day and each moment. God says my heart condemns my behavior as I pretend my Christian life, not pretend my faith. No, the Apostle John is presuming you have faith in Christ here, but there are times when you say something that is spiritually right, but you do something that is spiritually wrong. Now, if you're a Christian of any age, whether it's recent or many decades, maybe you've been saved for a very long time, you have to agree that at some point since you've gotten saved, you have said that something is right, and you have gone back and done that very thing. Or something is wrong, and you've gone back and done that very thing. What does that mean? That simply means at the moment that I gave into my natural man, I gave into what the Bible calls the flesh. I can choose to do that. The Bible calls that sin, and my response should be confession of sin. Not calling out for salvation again. Salvation is a one-time, born again, born once in the family of God. But as a Christian, God over and over encourages me and tells me, if there's something in between you and me, my son, if there's sin between you and me, that's a barrier, and you need to help and get rid of that. Here's what God says he'll do. He'll get rid of it completely, but what I must do is confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not to the unsaved individual. That's to the Christian. That's to the one who professes Christ as Savior. James chapter 5 and verse 15, not only are sins to be confessed before God, but if there are sins that I commit or faults that I commit that affect others, that should be made right as well. James 5 and verse 15 says, confess your faults one to another. What happens if I'm not living the Christian life? When my behavior as I pretend the Christian life, well, I need to make that right, so that the things that I say or the things that I read about in the scriptures are the things that I do. My heart condemns me. That's the new nature. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit as well. And certainly God wants you and I to listen to that and make a change. As one of our members often tells me, we need to keep the account clear with God. God's provided that way. He's provided it for us. We don't need anybody else's help to confess sin. That's up to us. But by God's grace, his forgiveness is readily available. Here's a second thought of as I look at verse number 21. Would you look there, please? Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. My heart, here's the thought here, my heart emboldens godly behavior as I please God. That is, as I do what God says to do, as I'm pleasing him, that will make me more confident, more emboldened to do more of what he says to do. I've often, and everyone wants to be a better witness for Christ, but oftentimes we don't want to do what it takes to be a better witness for Christ. You know, one of the things that it takes to be a witness for Christ, of course, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. It'd be good to have some scripture memorized and know exactly how to explain how you got saved and maybe how someone else can too. But one thing it takes to be a good witness is you have to go do it. You have to go do it. We all pray for that. We all think it's a great idea, but if we don't go do it, our heart will condemn us. Our heart will show, okay, yeah, you think witnessing is wonderful, but you're doing nothing about it. You're not sharing it with those that you know need Christ. Here's what Romans 8 and verse number 1 says. Romans 8, 1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible says, I can be sure of my salvation. God wants me to know I'm accepted by my faith in Christ alone. I'm accepted into his family. I'm assured by God as I respond to that new heart, that new nature that Jesus provides and is growing as I please and honor the Lord. You know what assurance does for us? It helps us live a stronger walk, a deeper walk, a more faithful walk with our Savior. Construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco began in January of 1933. In the beginning, no safety devices were used and 11 men fell to their deaths. For the final phase of the project, a large net was suspended under the bridge deck. It cost at that time, 1933, $130,000. At least 19 men fell into it and were saved. It was also the first United States construction site that required hard hats for workers. An interesting note is that 25% more work was accomplished when the men were assured of their safety. Assurance. Do you know that you can't have assurance of salvation today? I was asked recently, just a couple weeks ago, does your church believe in salvation forever? Do you believe you can lose your salvation, or do you believe in salvation forever? And I simply quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Everlasting lasts forever. God doesn't take away what he promises. The Bible says, if I put my faith in what Jesus did on the cross, if I call on him for salvation and place it on Christ, I have salvation forever. And you can be assured of that, friend. You can be assured of that. Is your faith in Christ? If it is, by God's grace, he's given you a heart that wants to help you grow and walk with him. But don't follow the flesh's heart. Don't follow the old nature. Follow the new in Christ. I can be sure of my salvation. A second thought, again, if you're writing them down, is this, found in verse 22. I can be sure of answered prayer. How many would like to be sure of answered prayer? Man, I'm praying for all of us, so many families that have been affected by the sickness, and we have had some that have tested for COVID and positive, and we know that just takes some time. Sometimes it just has to go through its course, and it is, but people are getting better. We're thankful for that. And so we're praying that everyone stays safe, gets healthier, and we can meet back again soon. But the Bible tells us that that prayer can be assured of in a few different ways. Here's what it says in verse 22. Let's read it word for word. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, the Bible wants us to understand that God answers prayer as we keep his commandments. That's part of the equation, part of the formula God has put together for this ministry the Bible calls prayer. Obeying and honor his commandments. Another one we find in the scriptures is that it's part of his will. Do you know, as you obey and honor the Lord Jesus and honor his commandments, pretty soon his will is going to seem much more delightful than your own. And your will be in tune with his. By God's grace, we can see prayer answered. And I think that every Christian would say, yes, I've asked for things of God, and he's answered them. And yes, I've asked of things of God, And I realized later that was not what God wanted. I needed to change that so that I could do what the Lord would have. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us. And God wants us to be assured that his desire is to answer prayer. The word keep there in that verse where it says keep his commandments means a continuous lifestyle. That it's not just for one Sunday or one day of the week. It's the rest of our life that we strive to obey and honor the commandments of God. Psalm chapter 19 talks about this for us too. Would you turn there? Let's go back to the Old Testament, Psalm 19. And let's see what God has to say in Psalm 19. We're going to start in verse number 8 when we get there. Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse number 8. Here's what it says starting there. The Bible says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them," notice this, "and in keeping of them, there is what? Great reward." Would you say that an answered prayer is a great reward? I think for me it is, absolutely. So many times when you look back, you forget to thank God for answered prayer, but once you realize, oh yeah, the Lord answered that prayer, man, that's rejoicing. That's reward. That's treasure that you can share with someone else about God's hand in a person's life. You know, the desire is here that we keep his commandments. As we follow his commandments, God says when we call on him for things, we can see him do things on our behalf. As we request, God answers. A second thought about that is God answers prayer as we do what's pleasing to him. Notice again the verse. He says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's a certain code of conduct that maybe you may live by, but we can follow a code of conduct and we can do it without delight. We can do it without a joyful attitude. We can do it with a rotten attitude or a good attitude, one way or the other, and still do what's right. But God says he doesn't want only us to keep his commandments, but he wants us to please the Lord in his sight, to be pleased and please him to do so. The word do means it's a distinct act that we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. If you look there in 1 John 5, a little earlier in the chapter, verse 3 of chapter 5 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They aren't going to grieve us. Doing what God says to do isn't going to make us sad and grieved. Doing what the devil would have us to do, doing what my own flesh would have me to do, following what the world would have me to do, oh, there's a lot of grief in that. There's a lot of grief in following what the world, what the devil, what my own flesh would have me to do in opposition to God. Lives have been destroyed. Families have been broken. People are searching out for medical help because they choose to do what God said not to do and what Satan told them to do, or what their flesh told them to do. There's a lot of grief in obeying the commands of those that other than God, but there is no grief according to God's word. And even by experience, Christian friend, you know this is true. There's no grief in obeying what God says. Only joy in the end. Maybe you have heard of a missionary. His name is William Carey. William Carey was a missionary to India in the 1700s and early 1800s. He was a shoe repairman by trade, but he got saved and he gave his life to Jesus. He left for India and eventually spent 42 years leading many to Christ, translating the Bible, listen to this, into at least 25 different languages. 25. And we're trying to change that. Some of our missionaries who are working so hard are trying to translate it just into one language. Imagine back in those days, 25 different languages, and was greatly used of God. He became known as the father of modern missions. Even today, he's referred to as that. Part of the secret of William Carey's lasting ministry was his sister. His sister's name was Polly, and she lived back in England. Polly was bedridden all of her life. Eventually, she became completely paralyzed by the time she died. But she lived throughout William's ministry. William wrote his sister, as the story goes, and shared the missionary burdens of the day with her regularly. And as the story goes, Polly would take these burdens to the Lord in prayer each and every day. Wow. Wow. Do you think prayer can change things? Prayer from a paralyzed young lady, a paralyzed woman, could help change the way the gospel was shared on the other side of the world. And friends, if God has burdens for you to bring before him, why not do it? What are you waiting for? He says, if you'll ask, I'll answer. Seek my face. Ask me. I desire to do them. And I want you to be pleased. I want to be pleased in your life, he says, and pleased in the life that I have for you. I can be sure, friends, I can be sure. Maybe one of the great truths of God's word for us this morning, I can be sure of answered prayer. A third thought I'd like to share with you is this. Let's go back to 1 John chapter number 3. And we're looking at verse 23. Verse 23 and 24 says this. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Third thought I can share with you this morning that we're sure of. We can be sure of this today. I can be sure of Holy Spirit dwelling. The Bible says that he knoweth, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Holy Spirit that God provides when you call on Christ. The Bible is pretty clear. The Holy Spirit dwells within us the moment of salvation. When I called on Jesus to save me at 6 years of age, the Bible tells me that that moment, though I didn't understand it, at 6 years of age, I didn't know that. All I knew that was I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was a sinner that needed Jesus to escape hell and to live a life that is pleasing to him. Well, God said in his word that the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within me, and he does still today. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. Holy Spirit's remained the same ever since I was 6 years old. But by God's grace, as I've looked to him for guidance, as I've obeyed him, when I have, I've changed. I've changed more like my Savior. That's what God's desire is for you and me, to be the image, the picture of Jesus to others so that they too might have a new life in Christ. That I might change more like him. That's the Holy Spirit's part of his job. When I've disobeyed him, that finger comes out. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That voice, that moment comes in where the Bible tells me I have an unction and understand, man, I did wrong. I thought wrong. I said wrong, whatever it was. And God, I need to get this right with you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit within me, within you, Christian friend. He dwells the moment of salvation. And I'm so thankful that when we get saved, we're never, ever again alone. As much as I love my family and my children, there are going to be times when I can't be with them. They're not alone, though. They have God. They're not alone. They have the Holy Spirit. There are times when I have friends who I'm so thankful for and be together and we encourage one another. And we sharpen one another, as the Bible says. But we're not always like that. We're not able to do that. When we are not with one another, we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct, and use his word to show us what to do. The Holy Spirit, he dwells the moment of salvation. The Bible also says in verse 23 that the Holy Spirit reveals his dwelling through, listen to this, loving others as Christ loves us. Look at what it says, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. By the way, where was that commandment? Let's take a look. John chapter 15. Let's go there. Would you turn in John chapter 15 with me, please? We'll find out when Jesus gave this commandment for all his believers, all his followers. The Holy Spirit reveals his dwelling through Christ-like love. John 15 and verse 11. Here's Jesus talking. He's talking to his disciples. This is right before he would have been taken, right at the time when he had the final supper with them. So this was very personal with them, although here it is, available to the whole world today. And he wants us to know, in verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Again, I mentioned we have those two natures. We have the nature of the old man. The Bible calls him, the Apostle Paul says, the old man, and the new man. The new man created in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, that is being fashioned and molded to be as our Savior is through our testimony. Well, we have a choice every day. We have a choice to live this life, to live it in the new nature, or to live it in the old. Now, before Christ, before Jesus Christ was in our life as Savior, we only had one choice, and that was to live in the old nature. That was the only choice we had. But now, as a Christian, I can choose to live Christ's way or the old way. And you know, Satan has a lot of influence on those without Christ. Satan has a way too. His way is pretty clear in the scriptures too. Here's what Satan's way is. His way is to cause doubt, to deceive, to divide, and eventually to devour. That's Satan's way of living this life. And unfortunately, so many people are trying to do that, thinking that it'll get them ahead, thinking that it'll be a good thing for them if they seek out ways to cause doubt, deceive, divide, or devour. Well, let me ask you, friend, if Satan is having his way by you, let's stop. If Satan is having his way in a Christian life, I need to stop and look to God and ask him for help to stop this and do it Christ's way. What is Christ's way? Christ's way is this: to love, as he says right here and all through the Gospels, to forgive as he would forgive, to edify, that is to build one another up, to help us grow more like the Lord, and to rejoice. Notice the very words here. He says in verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. Full. Boy, it's always good to have a full cup than a nearly empty cup. And God says, not only will I give it to you, but I'll give it to you full. Let's do it Christ's way. God says the Holy Spirit reveals his dwelling as we continue to grow in that Christ-like love. Another verse about this is in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 1, again near the end of the New Testament, talking about Christ-like love. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. And here is what it says. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, and here's the final words, fervently. Fervently, with gusto. That's the word, fervently, with some effort, with some, you know, oomph, some spirit, as might be said. When you're cheering on someone, you cheer on with fervency. Or you can do a job with fervency, not just plodding along, but getting the job done with some energy, some excitement. God says he wants you and I to love one another with fervency. Are you doing that? God says the Holy Spirit's trying to help us to do that, and he wants you and I to follow. The Holy Spirit dwells, the Holy Spirit reveals, and notice this, the Holy Spirit assures. If you go back to 1 John chapter 3, take a look at verse 24, please. The Holy Spirit assures as we obey His word. He assures us of that relationship with God and continued growth as we obey Him. Pardon me. Verse number 24 says this, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." The Holy Spirit assures as we obey God's word. Well, the Bible tells us obedience is so important in our Christian walk. It's oftentimes, not oftentimes, but sometimes the last thing we want to do is obey. We got things we want to do here, Lord. I'd rather do this my way. And God says, well, if you do it my way, it's going to come out better. But we tend to have that pride in our life that tells us different. Well, God says, as we obey, as we honor the Lord and His word, we see God's reward by that increased faith, increased confidence in God, and increased living for God as we understand what His word is telling us. What is obedience, by the way? Three thoughts that someone shared with me I think are also always helpful. Obedience. Obedience is following commands without delay. Number one, obedience is following commands without delay. Number two, obedience is following commands without deviation. This is what the command was. I'm going to do exactly as it is said. I'm not going to change it. And number three, obedience is following commands without drudgery. Without drudgery. That's obedience according to the Bible. When God says He wants you and I to keep His word, the Bible there again in verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him." He wants us to obey without delay, without deviation, and without drudgery. Can we do that today? Even in a less than 100% healthy state? I think we can. I think we can. God shows us what we are to do, where we're at, that we might honor and obey Him. Never asks us to do something we can't do. But what we can do for Him, He says, listen, rely on my Spirit. Follow me faithfully. Keep my word. I can be sure of Holy Spirit dwelling. I can be sure of answered prayer. And I can be sure of my salvation. How about you today? Is your salvation sure? Friend, if you've had doubts simply because you've seen that in your life there's been sin since you've called on Christ, well, truth is, that's normal. That's normal as a Christian. What also needs to be seen, however, are times of growth, times of surrender and submission to the Holy Spirit. If you've seen things like that, I don't doubt salvation, but do listen to the new heart, the heart that Jesus desires us, confess sin. Get on the right track with God. If you've never seen a real change in your life, if the lifestyle stayed the same, the desires have stayed the same, maybe you ought to consider, have I truly put my faith in Jesus Christ? Words aren't the only reason that we get to heaven. God does say if we confess, we need to confess Him. But it does say we have to have faith in Him and receive Him. All those are part of what we do when we call on the Lord Jesus for salvation. If that's your need, why don't you do it even today? And respond, Christian friend, if God's speaking to your heart. Be sure of answered prayer. Hey, God says He wants you and I to follow His word, not deviate from it, and do what's pleasing to Him. And then be sure of that Holy Spirit dwelling. God says He desires to let you know every detail of your life, what you can expect and to do for Him. Let me share this final poem and then we'll be done this morning. It goes like this. I have an assurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. The company will never go bankrupt. It is bonded by God's promise true. It will keep every word of its contract, exactly what He says it will do. I don't have to die to collect it. No premiums do I have to pay. All I do is to keep God's promise and walk in His holy way. No collector will ever come calling. It was paid on Calvary's tree. It assures me for living and dying and for all eternity. I'm so thankful we have things we can be sure of today. A lot of things we aren't, but the things we can be sure of are found right here in God's Word. And may they encourage us. Maybe they might exhort us. And maybe they'll help us make a decision for Christ today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, your assurance, dear Lord, first found in faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the tree for us, and that he lives today, awaiting those, awaiting to come and get them to your family, Lord, who put their faith in him. Lord, I thank you that we can ask you things and we can get answers. And you said there's part of the formula is on our shoulders. Part of the formula is us honoring and obeying you and asking according to your will. And Lord, I thank you for that Holy Spirit, though at times he shows me who I truly am. He shows me that I need to change. And yet, Lord, when I do change, when I make decisions for him, he gives me rejoicing, gives that fruit. Now, Lord, I pray, help our whole church to be sure, all of us, of these things. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, everyone, thank you again for joining us this morning. Thank you for those for the shared the Sunday school hour. The young ladies, you did a great job, and I enjoyed it too. I learned some things too earlier. But do join us tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have a pre-recorded service from the past with a special guest speaking that night, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Well, God bless you. Again, on Wednesday night, you will hear from our deacon board and those around who know. They'll try to get the word out if there is going to be Bible study and prayer and Kids Alive. Let you know for sure. But without a doubt, next Sunday, the doors will be open here at Grace Baptist Church. I'm sorry I won't be with you. My family and I will be on vacation. We're going to see our son Samuel and all of our kids will be together for a few days. So appreciate your prayers for our travels, and God bless you today. Thank you.